Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Dual Screens Games Cast. I am one of your hosts, Stephen Fontana, and with me, he's in that other box. He's Andy Asimakis. How are you, Andy?
My nuts have been put away for the evening. That's how I'm doing.
Are these nuts or chocolate covered nuts? What kind of nuts are we talking?
Well, the new sponsor of the show. Interesting. I found some snacks in the closet, dug them out.
Sure.
Munching on them nuts. Pretty tasty.
I appreciate a good mutt munching, if I'm going to be completely honest.
You know what? It's one of my favorite pastimes.
Sure. Yeah. For those of you that don't know, this is the Dual Screens Gamescast. This is the internet's number one gaming news podcast starring two people you've never heard of, probably. The show posts each and every Monday for your listening pleasure on your podcast service of choice, including our home, podbean.com. And you can watch it record live the day before or sometimes on Monday. It really depends on our scheduling. On twitch.tv/dualscreensstreams. And of course, the video on demand version of the show will go up 24 hours later on youtube.com/dualscreensTV. Before we get into the show, we want to tell you about our other shows. We are in the middle of our first YouTube exclusive podcast called Casting Call. We just recorded tonight our second episode, which is all about God of War. Totally exclusive, dude. We did God of War Casting Call, which is where we cast a God of War movie, change around the plot a little bit, and you know, for your entertainment. It's pretty cool. That doesn't have a regularly scheduled set schedule right now, but what does is the Dual Screens podcast that posts each and every Thursday for your listening pleasure on this very same channel. You don't have to go anywhere else. And if you are watching on youtube.com/dualscreensTV, please hit the subscribe button, hit the thumbs up, and leave us a comment below on the video. It helps the algorithm and all that fun stuff. We had a great show. Well, you had a great show this past week. Andy, do you want to talk a little bit about it?
Oh, yeah. We did Day by Daylight with our best friend, Matthew Coate from Behavior Interactive. Mm-hmm. That guy is such a superstar. I love him to death. Definitely. Like, what other human being could I talk to seriously about Chucky's dick in Child's Play?
This is true.
And it happened. It really happened. I mean, we discussed the game too, I guess.
Sure.
But the key takeaway there is trying to understand how Chucky grew a penis in the fourth movie of that franchise.
Right.
So if you want to hear that conversation,
right,
check out the podcast right now.
Riveting content. I was not on that show, unfortunately, because it was recorded during the day.
You were and you weren't.
But I was there and I was watching it as it was. You were
the ghost. You were my Patrick Swayze in that episode.
I was guiding your hands and everything. If you want to support us on Patreon, you can do so by going to patreon.com/NDS podcast. And we want to thank our two Patreon producers right now, Colton the Apprentice Nestler and FNH Paul. We cannot continue to grow without all of your support. So please, 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 if you have an extra dollar to spare, head over to patreon.com/NDS podcast. For as little as $1, you get, boom, access to our super secret Discord channel where you can hang out with us and our guests. Two, you get to vote on the bonus show topic each and every month. And three, you get said bonus episode every single month on the Patreon exclusive feed. You cannot go wrong with doing that. All right, Andy.
Is it time?
Enough of that. Enough of that nonsense.
It's time.
It is time for everybody's favorite future t-shirt. The Adventures in Gaming! 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 Andy, what have you been playing?
So, god damn it, Cujo.
Cujo's very excited about the Adventures in Gaming.
Cujo. So, I recently played a game that you gave me a code for, which I'm not sure if it was like a personal attack or should I be grateful or I should hate you for it. But
both, but yeah.
This is where we are. I played some of the latest Leisure Suit Larry game, mm-hmm. which has the best subtitle ever. Wet Dreams Dry Twice, which is a sequel to some other Wet Dream game they did a few years back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I played it for a little bit, and I have to say I don't hate it.
That's good.
Actually, it's got the old Leisure Suit humor.
Sure.
He's still awkward and a little scummy.
Yeah.
He's apparently looking for his bride-to-be, which I'm thinking – there was in the game beforehand, he was engaged, so I missed that whole plot.
Something happened.
So he's on some island. He's trying to find his you know, his future bride, and hilarity ensues. It's got some pretty twisty puzzles. But I am a little dumb, so that's also a factor.
Yes, we are all dumb idiots in our own.
So, listen, if you love like these old games, like if you like the old LucasArts Monkey Island games, and of course, Leisure Suit Larry, it's getting pretty good reviews so far. I did some research on it, so it's being received. And again, that's not terrible. Mm. But my time was devoured by another game this week, and that was Ghosts of Tsushima Legends, the multiplayer add-on.
Yeah.
Oh boy, Steven, this is the new Destiny, I feel. This to me feels like so much content for a free update. It's sort of unreal. Mm-hmm. It is more fun, more engaging, more rewarding, more fulfilling than even Marvel's Avengers, which is a full-blown game based on comic book superheroes. You can believe that.
That's an interesting few sentences you just put together.
Yeah, because it's very, very true.
I've been playing it as well, of course.
Yeah.
We played a little bit
together.
The
first time we dived together, and yeah. I'm on key level 105 now.
Jeez. Okay.
It doesn't take that long. You do some gold runs and you're good to go. I did my first gold survival run today. That was a nightmare. But then I heard that nightmare is even harder than that. Almost impossible.
So I've been playing primarily with Mike Kirsch. And we did all the story missions, I believe. I think we finished them all.
Dude, the stories are really well done, too.
But we didn't double back and do them harder. We just did those.
Mm-hmm. You got to.
We did a bronze run where we got all the way through. We did two silver runs where we got all the way through. We haven't gone to gold yet. I don't think we were the appropriate level for it. And also it's been a crapshoot with getting good randos, like getting two good randos.
For survival?
Yeah, for survival, specifically because
bring me on. I'm right. Well, there,
yeah, of course. But you know, some players don't understand the do's and do not and do's and don'ts of like health regeneration or like who's going to be doing what. And it's like, but at the same time, when you find a group that does click. Mm-hmm. Everybody kind of instinctually has that role and knows what's going to happen between waves. And it's pretty cool because I play a Ronin, which is the healing class of it. And once you get the ability that you can throw a healing totem, like it's pretty well known that at the end of a wave, whatever spot we're on, I'm throwing the healing totem
just
there.
Run if to the Ronin. Yeah. I feel like if you see the healing drum being clobbered at any time, it's not going to be a good run. That's my takeaway, because I feel a well-organized unit does not rely on the healing drum to get health back.
Right.
So, and I'm playing Hunter, which is the archer class.
Mm-hmm.
I love long-distance sniping. I got the legendary bow now, which is sick. Ooh, baby. As all hell. And yeah, I can't wait to play more of it and do the missions and tackle them. And then we got raids next week too.
Yeah, I'm not powerful enough for the raid yet.
You will be.
I'm like halfway there. So
I like what the silver level brings to like the story missions, how it gives you like that curse element. I've only seen two curses so far.
I haven't done any of those yet. I've only done
one
survival.
I've seen one where it halves your health if you do a curse, and also it tethers you and your teammate. And if you get too far, you both lose health.
Oh, that's cool.
Kind of fucked up. And the Oni chests are in the silver levels too, which requires both players to activate and fight these like four overpowered Oni, and you get an extra chest when you're down with the level. So that's kind of cool. Yeah.
Yeah, those are cool. I finished this Saturday, yesterday, Resident Evil 7 Biohazard. Applause for me. Yes, I did it.
Good job.
I had a blast playing that game. It was a lot of fun. So we spoke about it last week, how I felt like it was a much more closer to traditional Resident Evil as far as the flow, the puzzles, the intrigue, how everything's kind of folding before you and everything's really weird and different. It turns the strange up to 11 in the last 2.5 chapters of that game. But what it also turns up is, and bear with me here, the grounded reality-based stuff. So as wackadoo as this shit gets, and it gets wackadoo, with the size of the creatures and yada yada, I found myself really enthralled with the world because I found some journal entries that I read that explained why these things are happening, how this can happen.
Isn't it sad
in this reality?
Think about the story, like how, and the characters themselves, like the family.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of heartbreaking when you think about it. And what a really nice last boss fight too, that game had. I'm thinking about it right now.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to spoil anything cause it is still Halloween. I know it's an old game, but it's still like the Halloween season. So maybe people could be playing it for the first time, but like the final encounter, isn't really a fight. You know, like it's more like it's a conclusion. It's a set piece conclusion of something. Like you still have to do some things, but they're not like your typical find the weak point, do the thing.
Right. It's more it's very old school Resident Evil in the sense where survive long enough and wait for the thing to happen and then the finishing blow, so to speak.
Right, like in three, it was one. It was when the tyrant runs.
You're waiting for the rocket launcher, mouth. More or less.
Yeah. Shooting with the rocket in his mouth.
Yeah.
But like, you know, it just reminded me so much of the first couple of games where, like, yeah, there's the zombies, but there's also these other things that they were trying to make that created these abominations, and it's kind of like that thing happening. But then there was also a sort of like a flashback thing that shows you how things got to the family to begin with and how it's been affecting them, and it's like your first look at them as humans and not psychotic monsters, and like that actually made me feel bad for having gone in there and kind of dismantled the family one person at a time. It actually does a really good job at making you feel a little bit guilty, much in the same way that like a BioShock does.
Yeah.
Very, very cool. Very excited for RE8. Please stop changing Chris Redfield's design. Okay. Moving on. It is time now for a minute of Apex Legends. Everybody's favorite minute of news here on the show.
Hit me.
Andy, yes. They're cutting the season short by a couple of weeks.
Oh, no. What shall we do?
I am not near completing this battle pass. However, I did play the last couple of days with my boy Mikey Kirsch. Getting in there, we got ourselves a dub yesterday. It was fun. We're having a good time playing the game. Very excited for this new character to come out. Hope we see it soon. I'm excited about it. Now, I will say this. This season, from the character, the content, the unlockables that you get in the season pass, pretty much all of it, not impressed. It has been the first time I have not really cared about getting through the season pass. You're
like stroking that Apex cock with every update. You seem very excited about
seasons 3, 4, 5, and 6, molto bene. Season 1 was like, oh, it's something different, but this is not that great. Season 2 is like, you're almost there.
Is the magic gone, you think?
No.
Is it lost its touch?
No. It's not gone. It's not gone.
It's just waning.
I think they just need to get to next gen and show us what they're going to be doing, how this game is going to look and perform next gen. They have to figure out because this first season, and we're over a minute, but this season was about the beta, the cross-gen, the cross-platform beta. That's what this season was really about.
Right.
And that has been very hit or miss. Some lobbies crash all the time. I've had communication issues where if somebody's playing on Xbox, I can barely hear them. That's happened with multiple players. Yes, it's happened with multiple players. And it's just
gone on for longer than a minute, by the way.
That's what I said. I said we're past the minute. the reason why that's an issue is because you can't get into private parties when you're playing. You have to use the in-game chat, and it's just not leveled correctly. I mean, it makes sense because I can't invite somebody on Xbox or PC to my PlayStation party. you have to kind of do Discord, true. Really. Yeah, Discord is true. Like the way to tie those all in. I hope next gen has Discord built in because it's going to make this cross-gen shit you so know much what? Easier.
I've been hearing a lot about that with Xbox. They're doing some Discord relationship thing. So I hope that's what's going to happen also for this, again, to make these things more seamless and streamlined, but we shall see.
Right. All right, so let's get into the indie news update. Andy, why don't you take it away here?
Oh my God, this is nice because I actually backed this game on Kickstarter.
Oh.
So I'm just like, oh, I'm getting my game like in a month or so. Monster Sanctuary is a game that was on Kickstarter. It's essentially Pokemon meets Symphony of the Night. And if those two genres are sexy by themselves, they look even sexier. See, even the dog knows. Look even sexier when you put them together.
Sure.
It has, like, again, classic side-scrolling, platforming, you know, mechanics. But all the battles are with these creatures you get and you recruit throughout your adventure. And it's pretty neat. Oh, pretty fucking neat. Well, and that's out on December 8th.
December? My goodness, mm-hmm. It's right around the
corner. I know. December is around the corner.
Before we get into the Dual Screens report, I want to talk about what's happening on DualScreens.com. We have a brand new review from a brand new editor and our brand new member of the family, Purger, a.k.a. Taylor, reviewed The Red Lantern, which just came out. This is a game we've spoken about on the show. We interviewed at PAX East this year. This, of course, is your story-driven, your narrative-based dog mushing
the thing my dog knows is going on right now.
No, he knows we're talking about them. We know it's okay. Listen, we're all recording from our homes. It's fine. Dogs exist. We have pets. We have children. It's fine.
Yeah, but he's getting loud this week.
He's very excited. And Taylor did a really nice review. If you want to check it out on the website, please go to DualScreens.com, D-U-E-L screens.com. Check out that latest review.
I think it's Ashley Birch doing the main voice.
Ashley Birch is, if I'm not mistaken. Yes. I'm just going to read the conclusion here from Taylor. Though The Red Lantern isn't the greatest game if you look at it from its individual aspects, this is a perfect example of the whole being greater than the sum of its parts. The encounters are repetitive. The writing is fairly minimal. The hunting and fishing minigames are really simple. Regardless of all of this, the game leaves a lasting impression with its captivating charm and beautiful visuals. The way the way that you bond with your animals, the wilderness, and the protagonist grows, you really begin to feel an emotional attachment to the experience. The Red Lantern is truly one of the most unique experiences in 2020 and is recommended to anyone who enjoys a different take on the roguelite genre.
Yeah, and just to add to that, I think if you own a dog or like dogs, you have to buy this game because it shows the, you know what it's like when you have a dog, you just talk like it's like one of your children.
You like dogs? Like
having these long conversation with mm-hmm. your dog, like mm-hmm. I do mm-hmm. every day, like it's just a human being saying, talk back to me at some point.
Yeah.
So I get that a lot. That's why I really like this game.
Yeah, I think what it does really cool is that every time you fail, because the whole point of the game is that you're trying to get from one side of the map to the Red Lantern, which is a cabin, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And whatever happens along the way happens along the way, but you're trying to balance the hunger of you, the dogs, and exhaustion. If you become mm-hmm. exhausted or you know, starved, you basically wake up in your car. And it's like a dream she had. I don't know if she had this dream when she was falling asleep behind the wheel of her van, but either way, she and you remember these things. She writes them down as like, oh, this happened in this dream. That's weird. And you could kind of piece this together as like what the run is that will get you to the Red Lantern. It's not necessarily a process of elimination because there are so many different mm-hmm. paths and different outcomes you could take. But like, for example, some of them will be there's an owl overhead. Do you want to follow it?
Yeah. Or there's like a fox chasing something. Should right. you follow the fox or there's a bear. Should you approach it slowly? And then your dogs may attack it. Then your dog gets injured. It's a whole thing.
Yeah. And the cool thing is like, you'll learn, okay, if I follow, let's say the bald eagle, bald eagles lead you, you'll find out, lead you to usually a pack of some sort of animal like a rabbit or squirrels. So you know that if you need food and you see an eagle, you're like, oh shit, we're low on food. Let's go follow that eagle. He's going to show us where food is. But the owl doesn't do that. The owl, I think, gives you like a fucking pebble or something like that. Like, it's annoying. You know, so there's a lot of that kind of trial and error, but also certain things happen at kind of different times. It's beautifully made. It's a really cool game. Go check out
that. Also, one last thing, great soundtrack on that game as well.
Really cool soundtrack.
I feel like a good piano melody. That game is chock full of them. All right, Steven.
Yes.
It's time.
Yes.
Oh, it is time for the Dual Screens Report. And this first story is probably peak dumb. Now, we've been around for many years, you know, following games and their developers and PR and, you know, your Phil Spencers, your Miyamotos, and those figureheads. We've heard some dumb shit said by people who should be smarter than they sound sometimes. But this has to take the cake. Oh, boy. Google Stadia dev says that streamers should pay fees to stream games.
I don't get it.
Now, this all, and I'm sure this is a topic near and dear to our listeners. A lot of our people in the live chat are also streamers. So
this makes no sense.
This would be a good conversation. So this all came to a head when I believe there was some bans or some issue with copyrighted music claims from like years back that Twitch was sending out to its users, and it impacted some of them. And our good friend here, Alex Hutchinson from Stadia Dev, said this: streamers worried about getting their content pulled because they use music they didn't pay for should be more worried by the fact that they're streaming games they didn't pay for as well. It's all gone as soon as publishers decide to enforce it. Now, one big glaring issue with that statement is for a lot of streamers who are just starting out, I'm sure they've all paid for their games. That's get that out of the way first. I mean, you yourself, all the games you play, you bought them and paid for them, right, and you streamed them.
Right.
I understand the ones that are of the ninja variety and so forth, who get just sent copies of things to play. Yeah, I get that. But this is a false equivalency because it's not like you have a record company saying, here's my new single for my new album. Use it for your next stream. That's what's going on here. You have a publisher saying, here's our new game. Here's a code. You can stream it. Try it out. So I don't get that conversation as well.
Yeah.
And then he goes on even further. The hole gets dug deeper. Oh, the real truth is the streamers should be paying the developers and publishers, you got to be paying both, of the games they stream. They should be buying a license like any real business and paying for the content they use. This, and he got like ratioed to shit. This has like 5,000 likes and like 20,000 comments on Twitter to show you how dumb it is.
Sure.
I don't understand this because for the most part, I think Twitch, in a lot of ways, it acts like a free ad for games, especially multiplayer games. I think a lot of people didn't play Among Us or Phasmophobia until recently, or GTFO for that matter. And when they saw streamers playing it, looked fun, they're having a great time, their friends are having a great time, I'll buy the game.
Right.
Same for single player games. That game looks fun. It looks emotional. Great story. I like watching it, but you know what? I'm going to buy and play myself. I don't get that because you have things like YouTube full walkthroughs of a game with no commentary. So that's okay. That's totally fine to put that on YouTube. But streamers, they got to pay a licensing fee.
It to go back on your false equivalency thing, like music and movies are a passive experience.
Right.
You can put those on, right? And as a viewer or listener, the way, like, that is what you do. I could open up Spotify, listen to a song, or I could open a streamer's Twitch and hear that same song. That's literally all, you know, it's the same experience. And of course, the Twitch person should pay for that music because that's the experience. That's the base level experience. with a game, you have to play the game. That's the point of
the
game.
You're not doing a listening party of the soundtrack on Twitch.
Right.
You're not there for the sound, for the music clip. Right. So to go further into this, should reviewers on IGN and GameSpot be paying a fee to developers to review their game? Because they get clicks and ad revenue for posting a review on a big game like Call of Duty.
Well, explain
that
to me. Somebody tried to say that the way it used to be for – not for games, but for tech products, and it is still this way, is some of the bigger sites, some of the bigger outlets, they get stuff sent to them that is they lend the product to them, like the new iPhones. They get lent to the reviewers. Oh,
if it's hardware, like
they review the hardware, and then they send it back, and if it's damaged, they have to pay for it.
Right.
Now, so somebody in this thread was saying, well, you know, it's just like that. And I was like...
It isn't at all.
In my opinion, and I feel like anybody that can actually see this through the forest through the trees here,
a couple of brain cells to rub together.
The issue there is that you're not imagine this. Mm-hmm. Imagine a reviewer who is hired by a huge outlet, has to buy their own product to review.
Sure.
How many of these shitty games that even I don't want to say shitty, but these smaller unknown games that you and I get codes for all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think we would ever in our right mind go out, look for those games, buy them to review them on our website? Never.
Never.
We have been given early access builds of things that those codes do get revoked just like a license. They're like, hey,
on Steam.
Just because your media or whatever doesn't mean you get to play this all the time indefinitely. Now it's time to purchase it. But that was the purpose of the build. The purpose of the build was to get people to play it in its beta or early access form. It's just like Call of Duty. Call of Duty is into making you license their open betas.
The function here is there's, again, it's like an ocean of games and you're a little drop of water developer. You're trying to get noticed somehow. Mm. So you give your code to someone to cover it in hopes of the little spark of energy to get folks to watch it, look at it, to get eyeballs on it, more or less. Like we were talking about, what was it? Not too long ago. We were discussing Humble's Happy Burger Barn. And they were saying how Markiplier, streamer of that game, made it got attention and led to a publishing deal with a tiny build for them.
Right.
Could you imagine if they were like, oh, you got to pay a fee Markiplier to cover this game. It was like, well, okay. It doesn't look all that fun. So if I'm paying for this licensing, I'm going to cover the big games now.
Right.
So screw the little guys at this point. And also Stadia, no one likes you. Way to be more likable in this scenario.
Yeah.
Even Google was like, no, you got don't say that, dude. That's just bad.
It just makes no sense.
Yeah.
Speaking of things that don't make any sense,
talk to me.
PlayStation has dropped two beautiful formed, disgusting turds.
Just so luscious.
on their services or whatever.
Yeah.
The party system, which we've spoken about prior, is just getting worse. And now they've acknowledged that it's shitty and have said, we've heard you. We're going to investigate. For those of you that don't know, they changed it so that anytime you want to have a party with somebody, you have to start a new messaging conversation.
What are they investigating?
They're investigating how shitty it is. Literally how shitty it is. They're like, hey, guys, is this really shitty? And they're like, yeah. Yeah, it's really.
Yes, we're going to get Congress involved, do a full blown, get the FBI here, get a full investigation going for this.
Our friend Mikey Kirsch actually said it best. He said, I want to go to Mr. PlayStation party,
I want
him to just sit me down and explain to me how any of this makes any sense. Literally, just tell me.
You know,
T- Tell me the words.
Don't they focus group test this shit, dude? It's like we learned already from Splatoon 2 and Nintendo's voice chat and attach to your phone and do it there. It's like we know how these things can get so nightmarish and bad and just bad, bad ideas. What made you think this was good?
Here's what I think happened. Here's what I think happened. Putting on the tinfoil hat, not making excuses because either way it's nonsense.
Sure.
I think that the PlayStation 5 and the PlayStation 4 are using different messaging systems. And this is a way that you can pull from both of those lists, marry them into one thing, and then create a PlayStation Network party from it, as opposed to just inviting people. I think that's the reason why they changed it, to kind of get ready for that. But Sony, if you're listening, you're not. But if you are, if anybody, literally anybody that works there or has any direct line to anybody that makes decisions there, stop it. It's terrible. But they Sony, fucked something else up this week, Andy.
Go ahead. Tell me. I was going to say, we'll pay a licensing fee if you can take our ideas into consideration. But go ahead.
I don't know if you've noticed, but the PSN, the PS Store on web and mobile has gotten a facelift. It is now new. Have you noticed this?
No, I haven't. I have not. Is it bad?
You remember how bad it was at first, right? It was it was a mess. It is now exponentially worse.
Oh dear God!
And this is coming. This is PushSquare.com wrote a little thing, and it's called the new PS Store for web mobile is a dramatic downgrade. here we go. If anything, though, this is a significant downgrade. We'd be able to forgive the bland design, which leverages acres of white space and colossal promotional images, if the functionality was good. But let's have a poke around, shall we? Okay, let's, for example, take a look at the new releases. That's simple enough. You hit new releases. Firstly, why is there no text for the game titles? We suppose it's not a big deal. There's no text. It just shows the cover art.
It's like this ordering off the menu with the pictures on it. I'll take this and that and the other one. Yeah.
As the icon does have the name of it, but still, it looks a bit weird.
Like going to Denny's?
Doesn't it? All right. What's this Doom Eternal product page? There's no price on it, so let's click on it and find out more. You click on it. Okay. It's Doom Eternal Battle Mode, apparently, and it's not available for purchase. That's because we need to buy the title's new DLC to access it, which is fair enough. Scrolling down five or six screens reveals a description about the mode, but there are no screenshots. There are no screenshots of any game page at all. Let's try searching for something. It's quite slow, but the search function does just about work. How about Minecraft? That's a popular game. You searched, and there's a picture. You searched for Minecraft. This isn't pleasant at all. There are two pages for Minecraft. One seemingly includes starter content. The other doesn't. Weird. What's this third option for $2.49 British pounds then? There's no further information available as part of the search results. So let's click it and find out. It's the Minecraft plastic texture pack. You have no way of knowing what you're clicking until you click it to look at it. They have completely fucked up something that was already so fucked up.
And very off-putting. And it sounds like hot garbage, if I can speak bluntly.
I can't.
Which I do on the show from time to time.
I don't. Look, I don't like to do this because it's people's livelihoods. But whoever made this decision needs to get fired and never work in design again.
Just be like, I would say, get me your office and say, listen, how's your life going? Is everything okay?
Yeah.
Is anything okay? Is anything okay right now?
You need a wellness check.
This is not your best work, and it's starting to reflect poorly on all of us. No. Dude, next gen's around the corner. I don't want to see this. This should be like PS3, PS2 days. I don't want to see this crap anymore. Like, at this point, you should know mistakes like this are way more visible than they were years ago, and you're going to get roasted for it.
It's so
bad. You're
going to
get flamed.
I used to go, like, if I was at work and somebody said, hey, there's a PSN sale, it's a fire sale, I'd be like, okay, great. I would open up the PlayStation Store, log in, click the game, download to PS4. You know, buy it, download to PS4, perfect. Done. Now it's like I could put the name of the game and get 50 fucking things and not know any of it, what any of it is.
I would just put it in the trash can. That's all you gotta do. Just
it legitimately right where makes it zero fucking sense for them to change this, and not for the better. Like there are the you can improve things without destroying it first, so that every
Broken, then break it. Isn't that how the old saying goes?
If it's broken, smack it over the side of the unit. All right, Andy, take us into our next story.
I feel like it's like dumb shit this week. This is another dumb shit story. You guys, so the very first, the OG Fire Emblem has been officially localized for the first time after 30 years
of being a
Japan-only game. That's right. Fire Emblem, Shadow Dragon, and the Blade of Light. That's a long fucking subtitle. Nobody's going to fucking Fire Emblem. That's weird. Is getting fully localized and will be available for the first time ever in North America for the Switch on December 4th. Now, okay, this is a Nintendo game for all intents and purposes. 30 years old. Now, you would think this would be nice to bolster your Switch Online subscriptions.
Very exciting.
We're going to throw it on there. Here's a nice, it's a fresh game. Like for those of you who love Fire Emblem and never played it before, outside of a fan translation, here you go. It's on Switch Online. Get it today. But Nintendo, head to Nintendo.
Yeah, as they do.
They not only did a physical release for this,
which is cool looking,
which is nice. It's a collector's edition, which prompted many of scalpers to buy. It's already sold out as we speak, and it's going for kidney level prices on eBay as right now.
Sure.
This is also, much like the Mario shenanigans, a limited time engagement. This will only be available till March 31st of next year. Why are they doing this?
And it's the same date.
This has to end, but it won't.
Which I hate. Idiots go out and buy it. Simple as that. You dumb idiots go out there and you buy this shit and you gobble it up.
You know, it's like the FOMO is real with these people. Yeah. It's like, if I don't get it now, I'm never going to play it. And listen, I don't push emulation and ROMs on the show often.
But this is what people do.
In these circumstances, I feel, listen, you know, I don't understand why you're going to offer Nintendo game that's 30 years old for a 3-month release window.
Yeah.
If you don't get it, then it's done. I understand having a limited release of the physical, which has like, it's a full, beautiful book and artwork and the Nintendo Power calendar. It's a whole thing with it's the old cartridge, the sleeve. I get that. It was like when they did for Bloodstained, they had a whole NES Castlevania 3 box, which I got for like $200 because I'm an idiot. And I like to waste my money on dumb things like that. Yeah, I get it. For those who want to have the luxury items, the fun additions. Yeah, I get it. But if I don't buy the game digitally after March until March, I can't get it ever again. What's the point?
I don't get it.
What does that do for you? It's a fucking ROM file. It's like 10 kilobytes or some shit. Why can't I? And you know what? Also, in this announcement, they don't say what the price is for the digital edition. Because it costs $50 for the physical edition.
Yeah.
So what are they going to charge for a Nintendo game that's 30 years old? I'm curious. I'm really curious about that.
I don't.
This is very scummy practice.
It's going to set a precedent, and they're setting it themselves. Yeah. And it's the same. Isn't it the same date? People as the ones going out. Like it's
people. The same exact date, same exact time frame, and the same people who are just waiting for some new Nintendo shit like Metroid Prime 4. Or like, I'm just going to buy crap like 3D All-Stars, which is really bad ports of game of decades-old games. It's a half-assed collection, missing one of the fucking Galaxy games at that for $60. Because if I don't buy it now, I can't buy it ever again. And this just signals to Nintendo, do more of this. Do more of it, because people are going to buy it.
Yeah. All right. So here's a bit of good news and weird news. So The Last of Us.
Yes.
The first one, The Last of Us Remastered on PS4, has just gotten a huge patch for PS4 that virtually It this virtually,
is my next news piece, by the way.
Yeah, I don't have one, so I'm skipping it. I'm reading it for you.
Go for it. Go for it.
It literally, like, brings the load times and loading down, like, 85 to 95%.
Right.
And I don't know if this... Because on the PS5, this sort of thing was, like... It's touted as being a big deal, the loading, near instant loading, much faster loading times. It's kind of coincidental that it would happen like right around when this thing is getting, you know, ramping up to be released. I don't know if that's the case. I think it's more of coincidence. I do think it's more of a coincidence. I think they just kind of figured something out.
Well, here's the thing with this, Steven. It's also on Until Dawn. They got a dramatic loading time decrease as well. Mm-hmm. God of War 2 reduced loading time. A lot of folks thought it was that Oodle Kraken and texture license that Sony got not too long ago. But there was a tweet from a developer saying if they were to do this for, let's say, Last of Us Remastered,
yeah,
it wouldn't be a 500 megabyte update. It'd be like tens of gigabytes of update. It's the whole game being reworked to get this new system in place.
Right.
Now, what I think is happening here is, now, we played Ghosts a lot when it came out, and also now with Legends. And there was a report of having the loading times longer so folks can read the hints, because they were so fast that they made them long on purpose.
Right.
I think Sony got some magic sauce that they figured out with Ghosts for loading times that they're putting into these older games, in a sense.
Why, though? First like, party. Why? Like, I don't understand the purpose.
I'll tell you why. Because no one's going to get a... Listen, you have 120 million plus users on PlayStation 4. They're not all getting PS5 day one. It's impossible. So quality of life for those who are still using PS4 until they buy a PS5, I welcome it. Why not?
And it's interesting that it's a game-by-game update. It's not firmware patch, you know?
It's funny because a lot of folks thought that this was tied to the card system for the PS5 UI. How was first-party games getting ready to be PS5 features, like Final Fantasy got an update recently. Again, Last of Us, Until Dawn, God of War. But then this news came out. So it's nice seeing these little quality of life stuff for the older titles.
Right.
And again, if you have a PS4 now and you can't upgrade yet, sure. It's kind of cool.
Yeah. I mean, whatever. It's just, it's interesting to see what they're doing behind the scenes and under the hood, you know?
Yeah.
We'll see what other games had like totally egregious. It was,
Final Fantasy 15. That was
The Witcher. No, The Witcher 3 was awful. Witcher 3 took like an hour and a half.
Right. But FF15, it was like, load it and you could make a sandwich. Maybe answer some emails, take a call or two, go to the bathroom, take a nice little hot shower. It was that fucking bad.
All right. So now it's time to get into the hype zone, my friend.
Oh my God. Before you get into this, there were several picks for the hype zone that I was going through before you put this on the document.
It's very exciting.
My first pick was a deep dive article as to why Persona 5's Joker's fake glasses are fake.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Okay.
So I had no idea that his glasses were fake. There's, again,
he's just joking, Andy.
Right. But when I play games, I just play them for the fun of it.
Right. Sure.
And there's a whole article that talks about his glasses, about how there's that vacation level in the game where they thought he was farsighted because he wasn't wearing glasses during the fireworks. And I was like, who's noticing that while they're playing the game?
Okay.
And then this article goes to like Bible references. And I'm like, nope, this is too much for the hype zone. Here we go. I'm going to get rid of it.
There it is. There it is. Oh boy.
And then I was going to mention, what's his face? Mark Wahlberg as Sully in the Uncharted movie.
Mustache.
Looks like a 70s porn Good star, Lord. Which would be too much.
That looks terrible.
Too much for the hype zone. But I think your pick is just perfection. So with that,
I mean, Andy, this might be the coolest hype
zone. Oh shit. Out there. We got a pun alert.
Some celebrities are getting an Xbox Series X refrigerator. So that's good. Right. That's right. They've turned the meme into a reality.
So good.
And the one that we got, that we saw first, was of course the world's famous and always ever relevant Snoop Dogg.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
Got a personalized Xbox refrigerator. He got personalized Xbox bling. He got a birthday, an Xbox Series X birthday cake. And then inside the fridge, freezing, probably not healthy for it because of all of that moisture in there, actual Xbox Series X. I hope that's just the shell and not a, the actual Series X. But it's in the fridge. It's in there.
Did they send all that gin and juice to him as well for his birthday?
Indeed. It is chock full of gin and juice. And eggs, apparently, because why not?
And bacon. There's a lot of bacon in there.
There's a lot of bacon. But also, iJustine, of all people, got an Xbox Series X refrigerator. I mean, nearly 7 million subscribers on YouTube would get you a lot.
I thought she quit YouTubing over some old controversy.
I don't know.
I thought she was canceled.
I don't get it. But iJustine also got one.
Why?
There is an ever growing list, Andy, of Xbox Series X refrigerators going out. Mm-hmm. Now, I ask you this.
Yes, please ask me.
If DualScreens.com just exploded, if people realize that we are the real deal, if you know what I mean, we got the talent, and all of a sudden the views start coming in, and we're in the millions, and we're just making it rain around here, right? And an Xbox Series X, and I'm in love with the Series X, right? And an Xbox Series X refrigerator gets delivered in seconds.
Mm-hmm.
How quickly do you think I refuse that delivery? Because who the fuck has room for something like that?
I would say it would still be on the truck. It wouldn't even get offloaded. It'd be like, is that what I think it is? Just don't know. Put the dolly away. Get back in the truck, sir.
Absolutely. I mean, it's cool, but no. So where am I putting that? Where is that?
Get to the warehouse, start the eBay auction up, and let's get this going.
Here's what I would really think would be cool.
Mm-hmm.
Do like maybe a four times, or maybe, no, eight. So it would be four of them and then another four of them sized mini fridge.
Mm-hmm.
I would take that you could hide like your gamer like drinks and stuff in, or like your Red Bulls and your Monster Energy drinkses. Yeah, but is massive. That is a huge fridge.
You know what I would do?
Yeah, wow.
Steven, I would make an actual functioning fridge-sized Xbox Series X.
Now you're thinking with refrigerated cooling.
Yes. Yes.
You know?
You know, it's not liquid metal, but it's close enough. So it would make it where it's a functioning Series X, but it doubles as a refrigerator because you get all the space in it, you know?
Right.
Plug it into your TV. And yeah.
I mean, that thing would I'm trying to think like, so my apartment, no, it's just not happening. But I'm thinking like, okay, my parents' house. They have a whole house. They have a backyard. They have a shed. They have a driveway. I can't put it anywhere. Like it can't go anywhere there. You would have to I would have to buy storage and put it in storage. Anyway, yeah. I would sell it is what I would do, but that's crazy. And I would also, I'd be like, listen, when it arrived, did you see the video? It was a Twitter exchange. It was a person live tweeting something that happened where, I forget if it's the guy's wife or his neighbor or whatever, but somebody in this guy's family ordered, I forget what it was. It was some sort of food item. Oh, it was bags of rice.
Mm-hmm.
So they ordered 12 bags of rice.
Mm-hmm.
And what showed up at the house was 12 pallets of rice.
Mm-hmm.
A truck. A giant, and this was purchased, a truck full of rice. And the whole Twitter exchange, you have to look it up if you don't know this story, is of them trying to negotiate down from the truck and then They call the guy who runs the warehouse. They call the guy's wife is involved. The dad comes out. It's like this whole big thing. And then they finally agree, okay, well, we're going to take 50 bags of rice, right. Whatever.
How many is that from one pallet, though?
The driver, you know, they shake hands or whatever. And then the driver goes, okay, there it is. And he's like, no, you have to take it off. He's like, fuck you. I'm not taking this rice off the truck. So they start arguing again.
That's some bullshit. Fridge. Listen, if you're delivering 50 pallets of rice, you know, you got to be prepared to get off the truck somehow. That's the moving guy's job. You don't put that on the customer. That's ridiculous. But I like how they're embracing the meme here of the fridge Series X.
That's great.
Now, I hope we're going to be getting some special edition Craig Xboxes when Halo Infinite launches sometime next year.
Oh, that'd be great.
Just got to embrace the joke. You got to embrace it.
All right. Let us get into – first of all, we want to kick it to our chat. So, chat, if you're here, if you're watching live on twitch.tv/dualscreenstreams, now's your chance to add anything to the conversation, any questions you may have, anything like that. Now is your time to do it while I go into our Facebook group, facebook.com/groups/DS podcasts, and read our question of the week, which, of course, was, what is your favorite horror game? A friend of the show, Zach, says Until Dawn. Joe Gonzalez says Superman 64.
Oh God.
Mr. Nuff, Matt Murray, says Dead Space. Our friend Perger says Until Dawn. Albob also says Until Dawn.
Wow, people, also, please play games from not from the current console cycle. Go back a little bit. You'll find some gems, I promise you.
CJ Anderson says Horizon Zero Dawn. Now that's an interesting answer.
What? As a horror game?
That's an interesting answer because it is a bit of a survival.
Listen, game. You can lean into, because science fiction and horror, like if it's a Venn diagram, there's a shared space between them both. Mm-hmm. But horror, I can see some segments of it, but that's an action game through and through. I wouldn't put it in the horror genre at all. Survival, yeah, but it's all adventure games are trying to survive. I wouldn't call Tomb Raider a horror game, now would you?
Maybe the first one.
Wait, what? Horror?
Maybe. There was a T-Rex in that bitch. Danny Saldano says Resident Evil 3. I like the cut of your jib, Danny. Anthony Marino says Castlevania.
Really? God, these pics are strange to me.
It's interesting.
Interesting is a word you can use.
Raymond says Eternal Darkness for GameCube.
Oh, see, here we go. There's someone knows what they're talking about.
He says, I played that shit while I was high.
Oh, no.
And the walls change on you or bugs will show you.
That game will show up. Makes you feel paranoid even when you're not high. So
the game will reset on you, but it's not really resetting.
It erases your save state. It lowers the volume. It turns the TV off.
He's got a bunch of answers here, Andy.
Yeah.
He also says D for Sega Saturn. I don't know what that is.
Oh, D is a great game. D is in the trilogy of games starring that. It was the first video game actress. You remember this? Laura. She was a blonde.
Yes.
She was in D. She was in, some other Saturn game about being in space. It was a science fiction game. The name escapes me. And she was in D2.
I remember D2.
Totally detached from D. Just the same actress.
The Mighty Ducks are back.
Right.
He D2. Also says Resident Evil 1 for the original PS when the dog crashes through the window, obviously. And that's the first jump scare of the game. And then Fear. He says Fear. F-E-A-R.
Enemy Zero. That was that Saturn game with Laura. Sorry.
Berker says Vengeance.
Vengeance. Oh, I don't know this game.
And then he puts a picture of Daggerfall, The Elder Scrolls Chapter 2. So I don't know what he's saying, trying to say here.
Okay.
He says Vengeance. Mike Soto says Silent Hill 2.
See, there's a man that is a scholar who knows what horror is.
And Chris Lucius says walking to the gym and back without getting robbed.
That's a horrifying game.
That seems like a personal story. I don't really know. I feel like that might be some sort of social commentary. And Farmer Pete says BioShock probably does not count as horror. So I'm going to try out Andy's recommendation of Alien Isolation this weekend. Dun, dun, dun.
It's a good one. It's a good one.
What do we want this week's question of the week to be, Andy?
Well, while you debate that, the chat says Vegas Girl on Fire, if she can pick Turok 2 as a horror game. And I'm going to say no. Dino Crisis, yes. Turok 2, no. That's how that works in that situation.
All right. So what do we want the question of the week to be, Andy? Do you want to come up with this week's question?
Well, listen, it is November.
It is. Well,
Thanksgiving is upon us.
Indeed.
Trying to think. How about which video game franchise are you most thankful for?
Which video game franchise are you most thankful for? All right. And we're going to put a little image there of Thanksgiving stuff. Let's take a look. Chat, let's see what you got. Does anybody have anything interesting they want to say, Andy, in there? Do you have anything?
Well, Purger hates it because it's spooky. Sure. Which is good.
Sure.
It is spooky in all the right ways, so you should love it. Vegas Girl, listen, if you want to play some really good horror games, I would essentially play Fatal Frame 2, jump on that shit as soon as possible. Silent Hill, Clock Tower is my all-time favorite horror game ever. Yeah, do more of that. Play more scary games, indeed. You know? Live a little.
Indeed. All right, folks, that's going to bring us to the end of the show. This was a nice little concise show. It was good. We had a lot of good energy here. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for watching. Again, if you're watching on youtube.com/dualscreenstv, please hit the subscribe button, hit the thumbs up. Sorry if Andy's audio is out of sync. We don't know why it's doing that. I have not figured it out. It is out of sync after just a few seconds of hanging out. We don't get it. We apologize. We're going to try and work it out.
I gotta stop going to bigdicks.com.
Bigdicks.com will get you every single time.
On the computer.
If you want to follow us on social media, we are at NDS Podcast. I am at Batchild27. Andy is at PantsGuy. Our Facebook group, again, is facebook.com/group/DS Podcast. Follow our Twitch channel, twitch.tv/dualscreensstreams. And again, if you are listening to this, go to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/dualscreensTV. And hit the subscribe button and the notification bell to let you know. We have some stuff in the works. We did bring on our new member, Taylor. It's Purger. We're going to be producing some YouTube content with him. Also, some other stuff is in the works for 2021. So please be excited for that. We want to thank our contributors, Zazu Pitts of Sourdough Production, for our theme song. Thank you, Matt Murray, for our logos and overlays. And thank you, Andrew Douglas, for all of our cartoon art. Again, if you want to support us on Patreon, it's very easy to do so. Go to patreon.com/NDS Podcast. We have a $1. We have a $3. We have a $5. We have a $10. We have a $50. $50 gets you a Patreon producership where we shout you out and you get a personalized care package, which they all should be arriving soon.
Right. And if you don't get that now, it's going to go away. It's a limited time offer. So please buy it before March 31st, 2021.
Right. Thank you, Nintendo. Andy, this has been a pleasure. Is there anything you want to tell the kids before we
go? Well, I do want to say one thing, Stephen. Speaking about sci-fi and horror, I'm very excited about our upcoming interview on Tuesday. We're talking about The Invincible with Starward Industries. This is a fully fledged next-gen only game. PS5, Series X, and PC. Haven't seen a single trailer for it or a screenshot, but hey, we're fun in interviews. We'll make it work.
We'll make it work. We'll talk about that next gen stuff.
That's happening on Tuesday.
We have a huge, huge, huge couple of weeks coming up. I mean, there are brand new AAA games coming out. As Buzz mentions in the chat, Watch Dogs Legion is coming out next week. We have a ton of stuff coming down the pipeline.
We are weeks away from next gen.
It's crazy. I keep checking that pre-order.
And I'm like, it's good. Second number's there. Cool. All confirmed. Credit card charge. Awesome. Great.
Thank you, listeners. Thank you, Andy. Thank you, everybody. And as always, please be excellent to each other.